N64 Classic potential photo leaks, Ash Greninja to be in Smash Bros. Ultimate, The World Ends With You seeks a sequel, the Trick or Treasure event is heading to Dragalia Lost, Pokemon Go to introduce Gen 4 Pokemon and show off new Meltan video, Fire Emblem Heroes Heroic Feats is a huge success, and KantoCast October community events. All this and more, you're listening to KantoCast. Well, hello there, everybody. Happy episode to you all.
You give up on
welcome to KantoCast. No, I don't know. The 100th episode will be at some point.
You should probably like figure out when that is so that you don't miss
it. It's soon. It's very soon. I know it's really soon. I stopped keeping track. I had track of it at one point, but then I lost my sticky note.
Yeah.
Which is not what you want to happen to a sticky note.
I thought the whole point of it was to stick it in a place that you know where it is.
Well, sticky notes are meant to be a reminder.
Yeah.
But the reminder doesn't really work so well if...
you lose the reminder.
If you lose it, yeah.
It's like the remember-all. You have to remember what it is you forgot.
Didn't people used to tie a string around their finger, too?
Yeah. It's kind of the same thing, except, like...
Don't really...
I have this
stupid piece of string on my finger.
What was I supposed to remember?
Well, I think people just felt dumb for having a piece of string on their finger.
I don't know. Maybe it was like...
Why do I have this string on my finger? Oh, yeah, because I got to go do that thing.
I hear a doge.
That's what I thought.
And she's
actually
walking.
I'm going to get... Hold on. I'm going to get comfortable. Because we are once again under the tent.
There's a doge that wants to join the tent.
And she's coming up here. Oh, that's better. Okay. All right. Hi, Joes. You need to go back in your bed. Can you go back in your bed for me?
She just hit the microphone with her tail.
Okay. Well, now you really got to go back in your bed. Yeah. Okay. Come on.
Here.
See, now, Jenna wanted to have the dog in here while we recorded. And I said, that's a really bad idea. And lo and behold...
It's working out, sort of.
It's not working, no, because she just interrupted. My wife has bad ideas. I'm just going to put that out there.
How dare you?
That's true, though. Anyway, I don't know if I'm going to have to cut any of that. I don't like to cut things. That's why I like having the dog outside, but Jenna insisted on having the dog inside this time.
I thought she would be lonely and start making noises.
Yeah.
And stuff.
Yeah. Well, that's... the thing. Hey, guess what? Bowsette is now in Breath of the Wild. So, like, that's a thing.
What?
Yeah, we talk...
Wait, you...
Not, like, the official
Breath of the Wild. Okay. So, I'm not looking at the show notes, but, like, you told me that wasn't a thing.
No, that's a thing.
You told me Bowsette wasn't a thing.
Right. Well, she's not an official thing. So, there's
It's not an official thing, but it's a thing.
There's a Breath of the Wild mod, Miss Sassy Pants. And the mods put
Bowsette in
the creators put the Bowsette in the mod.
So
yeah.
You should have said there's a non official. You didn't well,
maybe,
say that off
maybe,
the first time.
Maybe. You shouldn't jump to conclusions.
Oh, I'm sorry. You there just said is. Bowsette is in Breath of the Wild. Then you paused, and that doesn't make me think that it's a mod or anything.
Well, maybe you should have been like, huh, that's interesting. Tell me more, Brian. I'm curious. But no,
I'm curious.
You immediately
tell me more.
Jump down my throat and are like, me, which is exactly how you sound. Nailed. Perfect impression.
You're being mean.
That was meant to be my icebreaker for the day.
No.
And it worked.
It didn't work. It made you sound mean.
It transitioned perfectly. We're going to be talking about the N64 Classic leaked photos. We've got some Smash Bros. Ultimate news with Greninja. Splatoon 2 reminder for Splatfest. We've got a little bit of the World Ends With You info. We got Dragalia Lost, Pokemon, Fire Emblem, of course, on tap as well. And at the very end of the show, we're going to be wrapping up with the community events that you can expect in October, hosted in the KantoCast Discord. So if you're interested in that, stick around for that. But first, I want to open up with Monolith Soft. We talked a little bit about this last time. Tetsuya Takahashi, the head of Monolith, was... So remember how they were expanding because of the great success that Xenoblade 2 had?
Yeah, and they were gonna...
They were ramping up for a new project.
Yeah.
Well, evidently, people don't know about Xenoblade 2, which is just so sad because it's such a good game. People were freaking out because they thought they were hiring all new positions.
For Xenoblade 2?
No, because there were, like, mass layoffs. And they were, like, turning over employment at Monolith.
Oh.
So they thought they fired everybody and was rehiring all new. And
were
so,
people putting out, like, this as a news story?
I don't know, but Takahashi evidently felt the need to, like, go on the record and went into great detail about why they were hiring. So I guess rumors had spread about, like, mass layoffs, and Takahashi made it clear that the job listings were for a new project and that they were, quoting, low on manpower. And then he proceeded to go into great detail as to why the company was hiring for each position and what the position would be doing and why the position was important for the game developing process. It was a whole thing. It's stupid. Like, I get that Xenoblade 2 and Monolith, like, they aren't huge names, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, when people think of, like, great JRPGs, like, they think of stuff like Square Enix, you know? Like, companies like that. Not necessarily Xenoblade 2. But I just think it's, like, Xenoblade 2 had so much success in North America alone, and yet people are immediately jumping to the conclusion when they see, like, mass hiring for a company. They don't default to, oh, they must be, like, growing. They're like, oh my god, they fired everybody.
Well,
mass layoffs in Monolith Soft.
I don't know the gaming industry that well, but I know, like, sometimes even if the game is, like, really big, it's produced by a very small team of people. So
some are
not some all, are. But, like, yeah, I don't know why, unless there were, like, rumors about people not liking a game or, like,
no, weird or, well,
like,
received.
Or, like, drama in the company or something like that. I don't know why somebody would just jump to that conclusion.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm very much looking forward to whatever they're working on though, because now the story is even better. Because they clearly have not, like, punched their name into the brains of everybody else yet. Mm-hmm. And so I'm excited to see what they come up with and what they're going to do with their newfound celebrity. Because, as a company, like, if I went out and said, CandorCast is hiring for, like, a social media director,
yeah.
Right? And some people might know that you did that before I took over everything indefinitely.
Yeah, so they would just automatically assume we were getting divorced or something.
I would be upset if people defaulted to they're breaking up, he fired his wife. Like, what's over, like, oh, well, they must just be, like, putting out so much content that they need an extra set of hands. You know, it's kind of like that, but, like, on a much grander scale, because Monolith has produced, like, half a dozen Xenoblade games alone. And I don't know, man. Just unappreciated, and it makes me sad. But yeah, their next big blockbuster will be all the more delicious, I think, because of it. So let's talk about something that I brought up a couple times, not in any, like, official capacity, because we haven't actually seen anything in official capacity for it. That would be the N64 Classic. We've had the NES and the SNES.
I still think those are really silly names.
I know. NES and SNES, like, that's...
That sounds better to me.
That's what I grew up with, and that's, you know, bothers me that it's not. I've been living a lie for the last, like, 20-some years.
You know what? You know, speaking of things that were, like, this is not relevant at all, but I was watching the...
Oh, good. That's what I'd love to hear. What?
Never mind.
What's irrelevant?
Nope.
What's irrelevant to my podcast?
So tell me. Watching the, I don't know if it's called a keynote, but it's the Adobe Max, and they partnered with Adidas, and apparently it's not pronounced Adidas, it's pronounced some other way.
Adidas?
And, yeah.
Yeah.
And I, like, had never heard of it like that, and yeah. It was, like, freaking me out a little
bit. Work at Dick's Sporting Goods. You'll learn how to say it real quick.
How you say it?
Adidas?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't see why that's weird.
I never heard anyone say it that way. Which
great story, Jenna. Proud of you.
Thanks.
Maybe learn some weird fact related to gaming next time, and then we could branch off on a topic. I can't really go anywhere with.
No, I was just
Adidas shoes.
It was like something that to your ear sounds foreign, but that's actually how you say it.
Laurel or Yanni, which one?
Yanni.
It's pointless. They're
the same.
Because the funny thing is with stuff like that, like once you hear it, the first word that they use, they can either say Yanni or Laurel. The first time you hear it, you're instantly going, your brain is going to perceive it based on the first time you heard it. So if someone says, listen to this and see if it says Yanni or Laurel, and you hear it, and if I say, was it Yanni or Laurel, you'd be saying Yanni. But if I said, listen to this and tell me if you hear Laurel or Yanni, you would listen to it and then you would hear Laurel. Like the brain tricks you into.
Okay.
Because your brain has to make sense of just this white noise nonsense.
Well, sometimes that happens.
And so it has to make it relatable somehow.
Well, sometimes that happens in like songs. When you're listening to a song on a radio, you don't know what the lyrics are. And you think it's one way and you hear it that way until someone's like, you're saying it wrong. It's actually this. And then all of a sudden you hear what's actually there.
That's kind of what I just said.
I was just relating
it to
the music.
N64 Classic. Let's talk about that.
Okay.
Stop getting off on this weird tangent.
They love tangents.
No. No one listens to this. I'm firing you. Yeah, so we've had the NES, we've had the SNES. The next console in line to receive the classic treatment would, of course, be the Nintendo 64, home to such great games as Mario 64, Mario Party. We had Donkey Kong 64. Of course, Super Smash Bros. 64, Star Fox 64, all kinds of good stuff. Everybody was kind of anticipating, like, oh, hey, we're going to be getting an N64 Classic soon. The holidays are coming up, yada, yada. We saw images online circulating for the N64 Classic, or what it would be. And I guess maybe the sell point was that it had the same controller ports as the NES and SNES classics. So, like, maybe that's made it, like, maybe that made it authentic or something. I don't know. It looked like a miniature N64. Like, there's no getting past that. We didn't really see a whole lot of it. We saw the front. We saw the underside. And then the top, we didn't see the back, so we don't really know how the connect ports work for, like, the power cord. And I assume it's HDMI hookup the same way that the other ones are. I didn't really see all of it. And there's one thing that we didn't see which causes me to think that it's fake.
What?
So when you think about it, if it has the same, like, front controller ports as the other ones, you could, in theory, get, like, a 3D printer or something and print up, like, a hard shell case in the shape of an N64.
Yeah.
And, like, mod a SNES or NES.
You could almost
Classic.
Nestle it inside and just have the ports be connected.
Right. We didn't see the controller.
So you just saw the ports. Yeah.
Okay. Well, it also showed the controller, like, plug towards the port on the actual console.
Okay.
So there was a controller, there was a cord,
but you didn't see
but
what
you
the
didn't
controller
see
looked like. Okay.
So I am skeptic. I'm skeptical. I know that we're going to get an N64 Classic at some point. Like, it just seems like a lot of people don't realize that the Wii Mini was a thing back when the Wii U came out. Not many people probably remember that because they were like, we just got the Wii U.
Who would want it, though, at that time?
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, they have stuff. They have miniature versions of all their things already.
Like, make no mistake, they all exist. We just haven't had a mass release to market yet. So we're getting an N64 Classic at some point. That's definitely going to happen. I personally think these are fake. Like, Nintendo's got so much going on right now with, like, the Switch. Like, they want to push the Switch. There's so many good games coming out. Like, the Switch has been out for about 18 months now.
Yeah, I don't see why they would, I guess, release it right now, especially with all the retro stuff they're pushing on the Switch right now.
Well, it's not just that. Like, the Switch has been out. It's been a little dry, admittedly. The big names are probably Super Mario Odyssey and Breath of the Wild. Those are, like, the two big reasons to own the Switch. But now we're getting things like Animal Crossing, Fire Emblem, Smash Bros., Pokemon. Like, there's all these other IPs that are coming out on the Switch that I really think Nintendo's going to want to focus more on the Switch rather than, like, secondary fluff consoles like the classics would be.
Well, how long was it between the... I guess it was still in the...
It was about a year.
Wii U little era, older. Though, but, like...
For what?
For, I guess, between the two SNES and...
The NES Classic? Yeah. The NES Classic came out, like, 4 to 5 months before the Switch.
Yeah, I know that.
And then the SNES came out about a year after. So, like, the time frame matches up, but I also don't think that they're going to necessarily release a new classic console every year.
No.
Like, I don't think they're going to do that. I think,
well, they don't have that money left.
Well, right. I mean, eventually they'll run out.
Yeah, and then they'll just keep re-releasing them. That doesn't seem like something they would do either. So.
Maybe. I think they're going to wait a year. I do. I think we'll probably get one next fall. I think we'll get the N64 Classic next fall. Or maybe this is real and we're getting it this year too. I don't know. Like, Nintendo is really good at like, taking my money. So.
Yeah.
I'm not debating that it couldn't happen. I just think the photos that we saw were fake. There's too much reason for me to believe that they weren't real. And when that happens, typically I feel like it's not. Because I'm usually a hype man when it comes to that stuff.
Well, it's also, like, the internet. And was it, like, really published anywhere that, like, Nintendo would have said, hey?
No. Well, I mean, that's a leak, though.
So. Yeah, so it's not really... Anywhere.
Like, Kotaku can't publish the photos and then Nintendo be like, oh yeah, hey, look, Kotaku's right.
Yeah.
We were gonna do a formal press release, but they got it.
They got it, yeah. No, I'm just... Yeah. Maybe it's just a really... It either is or it's just
it's
really
a really good
fake.
If it, like, yeah. No joke. It's a really good fake, don't get me wrong, but I am super skeptical. And, like, coming from the Pokemon community, initially... I can confidently say that people will fake leaks extremely well. Like, I don't think there's any other fandom that fakes leaks the way that Pokemon people do. It's freaking intense. It is legitimately intense.
Like a new Pokemon?
Intense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like the crap they will go through to fake a new gen Pokemon starter.
It's happening
next year again.
Yeah.
We're only about 6-7 months away from, like, the leaks to start again. Because Gen 8's coming on the Switch next year.
Yeah.
Like, we know that. And it's not... Like, we had leaks for Let's Go, too. Back before E3. If nobody remembers that. That was a thing. People were like, oh, Gen 8 on the Switch. No, it wasn't Gen 8. Like, oh, it looks a lot like Kanto. No, you don't say. You're riding a Lapras. Oh, are you now? Well, welcome to Pokemon Let's Go. Because that's exactly what it was. Yeah, but anyway, yeah, Pokemon leakers are crazy. Speaking of crazy leakers, which this wasn't a leak, this was an actual thing by Nintendo. Smash Bros. Ultimate, Ash Greninja is finally getting a shot at the Smash roster. It was posted by the Japanese Super Smash Bros. Account as part of daily updates leading up to release. And it acknowledged that Ash Greninja will be part of Greninja's final Smash.
I forget. Did Ash Greninja ever get, like, a story behind it?
It was part of the anime.
I knew that, but
so, like, Ash, Ketchum, and Greninja had, like, this deep bond. And so it was kind of like this cop-out of a Mega Evolution. It was like a friendship evolution where he got like stronger because like the bond of friendship. It was some real Yu-Gi-Oh nonsense happening. But he took on the appearance of Ash, like with his hair.
But that never like actually transitioned into like the main series game.
It did.
In the
demo of Sun and Moon, you could get an Ash Greninja from Ash, like in your mailbox.
Oh.
But it was part of the demo. It wasn't actually in the main game, and then you could transfer it over. So it does exist in the main game.
It's just like a weird thing. And now they're putting it in Smash. Yeah,
which, I mean, it makes sense because Charizard, for example, Charizard's Final Smash, he transforms into Mega Charizard X, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's pretty standard for the Pokemon in terms of Final Smashes. Ash Greninja is essentially a Mega Evolution version, kind of like that. It's like the original, the bond of friendship thing was like the original Mega Evolution.
Before Mega was a thing.
Like, that's the canon within the Pokemon timeline.
Oh, okay.
It was a thing. I don't know. Like, there's so much to keep track of at this point, and they just keep making it deeper and deeper. Yeah, that is what it is. But we haven't seen a Smash Direct yet. I think we will. Probably in the next few weeks. I'm going to say early to mid-November. I don't think we'll have one in October. I know a lot of people were kind of anticipating we'd get one in October. But I think more than likely we're looking at early November. Probably the first 2 weeks of November is what I would say. Maybe that second week in November. And then Smash comes out December 7th, I think.
We looked a lot. Like
very, when, very, yeah, very soon.
Very soon.
I think we're probably going to have one more Direct beforehand, because we haven't seen a full roster yet. Like, we're still missing some characters, and they said they were going to reveal every fighter before release. And I feel like they wouldn't just, like, tweet a picture like, oh, hey, by the way, Geno's coming to Smash.
No, they wouldn't do that. Going to do it in an official, like,
they have been Direct. So good at trolling us at the very end of Directs. So good at trolling us. Like, it's physically painful how good they are at trolling us. And they're even, like, working them in. So when we get other Directs, like, if we get a Metroid Direct or a Fire Emblem Direct, like, they could tack on a Smash Bros. Ending to one of them.
Yeah.
And we wouldn't realize it until it was too late. We'd be like, oh, my God. People would lose their freaking minds.
I think that's kind of fun, though.
Here's
kind of fun, though, because you never know when it's going to happen.
I genuinely feel like we're getting Geno from Super Mario RPG. I really feel like he's going to be on the final roster. I think there's going to be some kind of, like, SNES virtual console thing that, like, they're doing with the Switch library, with Nintendo Switch Online. We're getting a bunch of SNES games, yeah. Right? And Super Mario RPG was on the SNES. So I feel like they're going to reveal that Super Mario RPG is now available on the Switch library, and then they're going to be like, and one more thing, and then Geno's going to pop into Smash. Or, like, they'll be playing the trailer for, like, Super Mario RPG, and then Geno just, like, breaks the fourth wall and, like, blows our freaking minds. Like, I feel like that's what's going to happen. And if it does, you best bet I will play that clip on Twitter all day long. I will replay this clip like nobody's business. But that's how I think it's probably going to happen. Just one man's opinion.
But I have no opinions.
You don't. Are you going to play Smash Bros. When it comes out?
I think I'll play it with you, but yeah. I don't know if I'm going to be, like, super into it, because I am terrible.
You are.
I do good with pairs with you, because you pretty much
I do all the hard work?
Yeah, you do all the hard work, and I get to, like, try and get a smash in.
Smash Duos carries all day long. I will carry all day long.
Yeah.
Speaking of carries, Splatoon 2, we got a Splatfest coming up this weekend. If you want to squad up by checking out the stream times and joining Team Trick, you can follow all the social media links in the episode description. Come find us and join the Discord and join Team Trick. Because, for the record, Amazus and I both wanted Team Treat.
Yeah.
And I think Ports might have wanted Team Treat
as
well.
I wanted Team Treat too, even though I might...
Right. Well, we were outnumbered because, like, we didn't even have a full roster of four to squad up, so everybody else went Trick, and so I was like, oh, okay, I guess we'll go Trick. I still feel like Treat was the way to go. We'll find out. But I, for the sake of community,
I feel like you guys,
I'm going Team Trick.
Have like said that you're gonna be the underdogs because I feel like Tree is gonna be like the popular.
Well, who hates candy?
I know.
No one. Crazy people. It's insane. Yeah. So if you want to do that, check out the links in the description. Get you to our social medias. Join Team Trick and come hang out this weekend while we stream. I usually tweet out when I'm going to be streaming, so that's probably the best way to find out if you're interested in checking that out. The World Ends With You! We had Final Remix launching on the Nintendo Switch this weekend. This past weekend, I should say. It's Monday now. We normally record on Sundays, but life is crazy. The creative producer and main character designer, Tetsuya Nomura, commented about a sequel for The World Ends With You. He noted they've been looking for an opportunity to make a TWEWY, that's The World Ends With You, sequel. And they've been looking for a chance to make it ever since the original Nintendo DS launch. And I've been saying, ever since this, the Final Remix released, I've been saying it's the best Nintendo DS game you never played. They only had 800,000 units sold worldwide for the DS.
I mean, it has a really strong, I don't know if you'd call it a cult following because of that many units, but like,
oh, that's small.
People who have played it, like, have raved about it.
Yeah.
And even I've heard of it, and I'm like, not even that.
Make no mistake, 800,000 is small numbers.
Yeah, I know.
Compared to actual, like, handheld sales for the Nintendo DS, 800,000 is very, very small. Nomura also commented that everything basically comes down to sales. So if we want a The World Ends With You sequel, the Final Remix, I think, has to sell well. Which, based on, like we were talking about earlier, Xenoblade 2, not a very prominent franchise, but Xenoblade 2 changed that. And so I'm thinking maybe now that the Switch has this... The library on the Switch is good, don't get me wrong, but it's nowhere near where the Nintendo DS was when the game originally launched on it. So people are going to be looking at the Switch, they're going to be looking for games to play. I think The World Ends With You is launching at a very good time before Pokemon, before Smash, before all of those games come out, to really gain, like, you know, a solid following of interest. So I think this might be the time. I know they've been waiting, like, 11 years to write a sequel, and they've been thinking about the sequel this entire time, by the way. When they wrote the first game, the team, like, began thinking about a sequel. And if you play the game and you get through the story, I think you can let your imagination run wild with what a sequel would be like. I'm trying not to spoil the game.
Imagination.
But I mean, the possibilities are definitely there. Because even when I finished it on the DS, I was like, huh, so that's just it. Weird. Like, I remembered feeling, it felt a little bit empty almost.
It felt, like, incomplete.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, like, the game never actually ends. So when you beat it, like, the game plays based on days. So after you beat, like, the final day, you can start the game again and just play through it. And it just keeps adding on days. So it never really ends. You can just continue to grind in the game.
The world ends with you.
Yeah.
So, like, basically, if super you stop meta, playing right? the game, it, the world ends.
Yeah, it's super meta.
That
right?
is, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's really weird. So, I mean, the team that did it is so creative. Like, I can't get past that. It's such a unique and original game. In a sea of just... you know, constant franchise reboots and sequels. Like, I feel like this was such a unique game, and I'm disappointed that it didn't get the following that it really deserved. So if you're on the fence about The World Ends With You, pick it up. Like, trust me on this. Just, I don't know how long you've been listening to this show or following me, but trust me when I tell you The World Ends With You is a game that you will not soon forget about. Guaranteed. So check it out if you're interested. They need sales for a sequel, and I want a sequel.
It came the day of.
Yeah. Yeah. It was here. Still haven't torn into it yet. Young Brian would be very disappointed in me.
But hey, you know what? I was busy this weekend. Dragalia Lost had Loyalty's Requiem, the first ever raid event and boss raid event. That came to an end this weekend. I actually streamed raids up on Saturday and Sunday for a good number of hours. The rating system actually handled really well. There were only a handful of drops, like two or three. And I streamed for about 6 or 7 hours collectively.
Yeah.
So I would say pretty decent overall for like a mobile situation.
I made you a new layout for that.
You did. And I got to meet some new people too, because, you know, the game is new. There were bigger streamers, Mango7, like he was in there. The guys that I knew of from like Fire Emblem, like the mobile tycoons on like YouTube and stuff, like they were playing, messing around with it. But I got to meet some new people and we squabbed up.
Yeah.
Shout outs to Amazus and Ignea, who were with me the entire time on both days. We were raiding, trying to get enough emblems and whatnot to finish out rewards and. It was good. It was really interesting. The grind wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. It was very fast-paced, so it didn't feel like a drag. And I'll compare it to Tempest Trials and Fire Emblem Heroes, where it's basically just like an auto-battle grind the entire time. I genuinely enjoyed the raid grind. Mm-hmm. Like, I enjoyed doing raids over and over and over again. And I don't know if that'll get old, and if this was just like, oh, well, it's the first one, so like it's new and like it hasn't gotten tired yet.
Yeah.
But I genuinely enjoyed it.
That's good.
It was good stuff.
I like that you like gained some new followers because you're playing a new game, and I really like that. Like it's your whole streaming career has kind of been like in a weird transition ever since you went back to full time, and I like that like you can stream like kind of more events and things like that, and especially with like mobile because mobile is really accessible to a lot of people.
Yeah. I'm personally glad I got my iPad to connect to my Elgato.
Yeah, that was...
Because now, like, there was... For Heroes videos, I do a screen mirror on my PC and record it that way because my Pixel won't connect to my Elgato. But there was no way in hell that this Dragalia Lost wasn't going to handle that mirroring. Like, my computer would just freeze every... Like, the program would freeze every time, I can almost guarantee it. So I'm really glad that the Elgato's working and we didn't have any issues. I'm very okay with just streaming events like Splatfest. There's a Pokemon event coming up that I'm going to talk about next, actually. I'm very content with just streaming events and making that part of like the community focus that other people are engaging in and. It's easier on me because I don't have to plan out unique content as much as I used to. There's no daily grind anymore. And everything feels a little bit more natural now, which is really nice. Plus, you know, it's if I'm just sitting there shiny hunting for 7 hours straight, you can shiny hunt along with me, but it's not as interactive as something like joining in on the Splatfest or getting in on the Dragalia Lost raid or you know, something like that. Yeah. So it's
a little bit more interactive as far as like a viewer.
It's good. Yeah. And I mean, you know, you'll hear at the end of the show, I do a lot of community events in the Discord that are based around a lot of these games. So being a diversity streamer is hard. Don't get me wrong. But I would much rather do diversity type stuff and have a very low follow count. Then just grind out the same thing daily and like have people show up and just watch me do that same thing over and over and over, which not everybody does that, but it almost feels like that's the industry standard. If you're gonna make it on Twitch or YouTube, you gotta pump out the same thing every day with consistency because that's what people showed up to see. And I just think that's such an unfulfilling like viewership goal.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to show up to someone, like, even if I like him. And I'll give the example of Mr. Talent, Drew.
Yeah.
I love Drew. He's a great guy.
I am so glad he's doing other stuff now with things like Monster Hunter, and he'll switch into like Overwatch or Fortnite sometimes, and he'll do Pokemon battles occasionally. I don't know if he's doing them anymore, but he switches it up, and I respect that so much because, you know, in one aspect, it shows that he, as an entertainer, as a creator, is capable of doing more than one thing. And I feel like a lot of creators are afraid to jump out of that box because it's what they get known for.
Well, I've seen it when we're talking about different YouTubers and just in general, but people do one thing and they get known for that one thing. And then when they try and step out of that box to get that diversity, they see their numbers slide and then they get scared and they right. go back to doing that one thing.
But here's the thing. And this is why I made the change a long time ago. If I'm only going to have a following or be entertaining at one thing, I don't want to do that thing. I've never wanted to be put into a box like that. There's a niche that you have to get noticed. And then I feel like if you're talented or skilled enough as an entertainer creator, people will appreciate you for what you do and the spin that you bring to things, not just that you're playing that game that they like. And so that's why I started branching out, because I wanted to see, like, I wanted to test myself. Like, I had gotten known for Pokemon. I was stale as it was, like the numbers were just not going anywhere. And I was like, you know what? I'm so capable of like doing other things. Like, I can play other games.
You have other interests.
I am a talented gamer with a broad spectrum of interests. I can do shooters, I can do puzzles, I can do tacticals, like I can do a lot of this stuff. Let me show them what I can do. And for those who hung around, and you know, I think it was refreshing for people to see me do other stuff besides shiny hunting. The one thing I was always like, I don't want to be known as a shiny hunter. And then people started calling me a shiny hunter. I was like, don't like that. And about 4 months later, I got very discontent with everything. I was just like, you know what? Things are going really well. Let's just stick with it until Usum comes out, and then we'll see what happens. Usum bombed. And I was like, well, nowhere else to go now. No one's watching anymore anyway. Might as well just try something else. So yeah, that was that. But yeah, Dragalia Lost is great. I don't know how we got on that tangent.
I was just saying that it was refreshing that you could have so much fun on stream with a new game and be kind of like more interactive with the community.
Oh, sure.
And that's kind of where it tangent in from.
Well, don't get too settled, because we have a new Halloween event headed our way in Dragalia Lost, and it will feature Ellie for short, and other costume characters coming up very soon. It was data mined like a week back, and then we got the official notification that it would be happening soon today. And this is right after Loyalty's Requiem ended, and so we're going to have another boss raid thing happening, and it's going to be good times. It'll be good times. Trust me, it'll be good times. There's so much happening, and I love mobile games because there's always constant stuff changing.
You're also always on them. Like, if you had a different job, like, you're busy at work, but if you had a different job, you couldn't just sit there on Heroes or on whatever. I haven't really seen you play this game, like, mindlessly, unless you're, like, sitting and
Well, there's a lot of focus. TV.
But, like, you'll be playing a game mobily while you're multitasking at work.
I did that, yeah.
You do that all the time.
Today alone, I did that with Tempest Trials. I had that
auto battle happening. I don't think you could do the same thing if you were just, like, carting around your Switch. Like, that would be a little more weird to be doing that at work.
Brian, why are you on your Nintendo Switch? I'm not. Like, that would be my defense, because I literally have nothing else.
Brian, why are you always on your phone?
Because I'm very socially conscious about the world around me right now.
Yeah.
Have you seen what's happening in Syria? Like that, like, I can make up excuses right off the bat. Very easy.
I'm not just hunting for waifus over here.
No. I'm not.
I'm sure people, like, because you work in an office with, like, a few other people in the same room, so I'm sure they've been, like...
Oh, I'm sure they know I'm a weeb. Yeah.
That you're, that's... like, playing the game while you're doing other things.
Nah, it's whatever. I don't care. Hey, Pokemon! Let's get into Pokemon. This is a meat and potato of
Wow, there's a lot of bullet points in
there. There are. So first and foremost, since we were talking about events that are coming up, the Ultra Spooky Cup is happening. It is national decks with spooky / Halloween related Pokemon. There will be no Megastones. Single battles, 15 per day. I think it's team of 6, bring 3. I didn't see that in the official rulings, but I'm pretty sure that's what it was. It's going to be on Usum Games. It'll be registration from 18th through the 25th of October. And battles will be taking place on the 26th to the 28th. And I will be streaming something about that if I can throw a team together in time. Because you get an entry prize of a shiny Mimikyu just for signing up and playing a couple games.
I forgot. Can you use QR codes for events or no?
No.
That is why you need a team.
Yeah, a little bit.
Do you? Hopefully you can get one in time.
Well, I have good friends who will send me things if I ask nicely enough. So.
Well, I mean, yeah.
I'm not too concerned about it. Giratina, who is like the devil reincarnate in the Pokemon universe, is not eligible to be spooky / Halloween related, which is just absolute balderdash, in my opinion. But either way, that'll be happening. We'll be streaming it. Again, if you want to check that out, feel free to follow our socials below. We had a new Melton video this week, and it teased a Melton multiplier kind of box. Which can be acquired by transferring your Pokemon from Let's Go, or from Pokemon Go over to Pokemon Let's Go. Shocking. So I called it a cash grab, and let me specify. I know I have an unpopular opinion of Pokemon Let's Go. I am not allowed to say anything negative about Pokemon Let's Go, or I get jumped on by several very dedicated fans of the Pokemon series. I get that. But guys, we need to stop giving Pokemon our money for cheap stuff like that. Like, it's stupid. The Meltan multiplier box is basically just a reason for Go players to get Let's Go. Because they're going to want the most Meltan. Because in the video, we saw that Meltan will evolve, and it looks like some kind of weird fusion thing once you get enough Meltans.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing that the box has something to do with that. So they're essentially putting up like a barrier to easy access to Meltans. So if you buy this, then you get easier. And I like Pokemon Go players. Some of them are super intense. They have like 5 or 6 phones out at a time doing a Mewtwo raid. Like they're crazy. Okay, they're nuts. They are loco. They're going to buy Let's Go. They're going to spend $60 on the Pokemon game just to get the Meltan box. You know they're going to do that.
I'm just saying, though.
Pokemon does, too. That's why they're doing it.
I think that, like, when you said that it was a cash grab and people were, like, thinking that you meant that nobody ever who doesn't get the game can get it. No, you can get it if you have friends in, like, certain situations.
Well, Meltan...
You don't have to,
Meltan's
like,
even going to be a quest Pokemon in Go, like Celebi and Mew.
Yeah, like, there's going to be ways to get it.
Right.
It's just, like, if you want it right away,
it's
and
a
you
cash
want
grab.
It bad enough, you will
yeah,
pay the money
you
to
pay
get
for it.
It.
Yeah. Exactly. Otherwise, it would be a paywall. And I tried explaining this on Twitter, too. So a paywall is, like, for example, if you were listening to a CantoCast episode, I said, hey, you have to pay me $5 to listen to this episode.
That's a paywall.
Or you'll never hear it.
That's a paywall.
That's a paywall. A cash grab, is like advanced
hey,
access to
yeah,
something.
Yeah, you can for $5, you can get this a week early.
Right. That's what that is. It's a reason to give your money to someone. That's a cash grab in every sense of the word. A paywall is a restricted access type situation, like Patreon rewards or, you know, something like that. That's what a paywall is. This is not a paywall. There are ways to get it, but if you want to get the goods faster, better, sooner, you got to throw some cash at the problem. So that's what I was meaning by that. I don't know. Again, I feel like there's so much charge sensitivity over this game that like I can't take a critical approach to it. I could call other games that do the same nonsense trash and be like, well, this is dumb. I don't know why so-and-so is doing this with this game. And people are like, yeah, that's a good point. But if I bring up the same argument to the same sell tactics in a Pokemon game, people are like, no, you just don't like it. You don't have to play it. I know I don't have to play it. I'm not going to play it. I'm just trying to be real with you guys. I'm sorry. God. It's insane. It's very intense. I'm not going to say anything else about Pokemon Let's Go on Twitter. I'm just not.
You shouldn't.
I'm gonna write it in a Google note to myself, and I'm gonna read it over and be like, "I understand the logic behind this statement," and then I'm gonna delete the note. That's what I'm
gonna
do.
You should just clip this part of the episode out and like play it to yourself when you feel like you need to tweet about Pokemon.
I should. It'll be okay, Brian. It'll come and go. People will play it for 4 months and then they'll never talk about it again, just like every other Pokemon game. You know why Pokemon Go has survived? When people called it a dead game? They introduced stuff like Community Day and raids.
And they add in new Pokemon when they feel like it.
Do you know
it.
Why? Because mobile games can create a lot of engagement because stuff is constantly changing with them.
It's like DLC. That's why Pokemon
Go
has survived.
I think Pokemon Go might be a better game than the main series games. For that reason alone.
For longevity?
Yeah.
Of course.
100%. 100%. How do you make a great main series Pokemon game that you don't have to immediately buy the next game to 1 year later?
Mobile.
You'd have to put a lot of DLC out.
DLC, yeah.
You'd have to constantly be running events with it.
Yeah.
But then how do you sell another Pokemon game? You can't.
That's basically, like, in my mind, that's like why it took so long for us to get another Animal Crossing game. And, like, the way they appeased their like following was to release DLC and do things like Pocket Camp and stuff like that.
Yeah, maybe. Speaking of changes, we're going to be seeing some Pokemon Go change mechanics happening. For the battle mechanics, we're getting HP values adjusted, defensive and stamina values adjusted to outlast opponents rather than just take longer to defeat them. And defensive values are getting reduced for most Pokemon, which is super exciting. We're also going to see migration and behavior mechanics changing. So the weather feature that's out right now, which is garbage, where the effects are getting reduced. So if it's cloudy or rainy, you will actually be able to see Pokemon, whereas right now they just cease to exist. You're also going to be seeing more variety in species that appear over time and at different rates. And parks and preserves will have more diverse Pokemon than ever before. So very exciting stuff. We also got Gen 4 teased. So again, new stuff coming to Pokemon Go. Great. Gen 4 Pokemon will be teased and likely released this month. And that was Giratina at the end of the video. Don't know if anybody noticed that. Some people were claiming it's Arceus. It's not. I know what a Giratina face looks like, fam. That's a Giratina face right there. Make no mistake about it. So Giratina and everybody's coming. But before all that happens, we have Shiny Beldum coming to Community Day. That will be on October 21st, and again, we are having a shiny contest for the Pokemon Go Community Day, so be sure to check that out if you are interested in doing so. Whew! Kinds of Pokemon stuff. Told you there's a lot of Pokemon stuff. But hey, it wouldn't be a CancerCast episode without some Fire Emblem news, am I right? The Land's Bounty Halloween event is coming up.
Yeah, are you excited?
Well, it's already happening. We had Halloween Mia, Niles, Myrrh, and Kagero, which... I don't think anybody was really expecting Mia, Niles, or Myrrh. Kagero, maybe. She's already got an ult. She's pretty popular. Mia, I feel like, from the Radiant series, is very underappreciated. It's nice to see she got an ult. There was no Camilla, so everybody was super happy about that. Camilla ults run rampant. You gotta watch them. They multiply out of nowhere.
I feel like, since I've been listening to you and watching you play this game, Camilla is a key word that comes up multiple times.
Well, she has assets, if I may speak
are you
politely.
Yeah, you're getting at what I thought you were.
But the Heroes also tried something called Heroic Feats. We mentioned it last week.
The results from the first round were actually 12,600,000 or 639,853. So we met it. We get a free Hinata. And now they have a second round. There's four rounds in total, reminding you. This is running from the 13th through the 17th, and the reward is a free star, free four-star Birkit, who is originally a Grand Hero Battle unit, I think, and so there's only a limited number of him available, maybe two or three total in the game right now. So if you want a shot at another unit who has a very, very sought-after inheritable lance, this is kind of your chance to do that. Yeah, we have to send in mage units, so any tome units, into battle 30 million times. But Tempest Trials is actually going on right now, so I feel like people are going to be grinding through Tempest Trials with mage units just to try and meet this goal. The current update, we were over halfway there within the first, like, 2 days, I think. So we're well on track to meet it. And I think in the second half, like the last day or so of round two, it's double points. So, like, we're pretty much on track to get a free Birkit, which is super awesome. We've also got new hero summoning events coming up on October 23rd that'll run through November 9th. And then another one that starts immediately on November 9th through the 21st. So here's the problem with that. we don't really know what they're gonna be. They could be prologues. Prologues are usually seasonal units. So I feel like that's maybe not it. Prologue being like the story chapter.
Oh, okay.
So every time we get a new hero's banner, we get a story within the current book to go along with it. And seasonals are usually prologues.
Mm-hmm.
And then the new heroes, which is what these are, get added into the regular pool, and they are part of the story chapters.
Have they ever done an epilogue?
Sure.
Yeah.
Why not? So the point being, we just ended book two.
Okay.
We don't have a new book to start story chapters in, which is what would normally accompany heroes banners like these.
Oh.
So I don't know what they're going to be.
Epilogues.
Well, again, we don't have a book to put them in. That's what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
And book three isn't likely starting until, like, mid-November.
So
we're just getting banners for the heck of it, I guess.
Yeah.
But I don't know who they're going
to
be.
Is that, like, unsatisfying to have, like, a banner without having a story?
Well,
not necessarily, because
the stories don't really make, like, a huge impact, but they give you free orbs, right? So, like, when the new banner launches, you complete the story, you usually get, like, almost 20 orbs-ish, mm-hmm. which is, like, a full circle, which is nice.
In a game like this, is, like, the story, like, really important, or is it just, like, secondary to the gameplay because you're just really trying to get your units?
It's both. I think it's both. You kind of got to watch it, though, because, like, important bits of story that, like, foreshadow stuff will pop up randomly out of nowhere. Like, we got a pretty big hint at something coming up in what we assume to be book three in a random Tempest Trials ending, like two Tempest Trials back, just randomly. Tempest Trials has always been something separate.
Is it something that you can, like, if you were, like, really in a game theory kind of mode, could you go back to the chapters and, like, rewatch them?
You can't with Tempest Trials, but you can with the books.
So, like, if you're really out there looking for clues or Easter eggs or whatever, you really have to pay attention while you're playing the game.
Sometimes, yeah. And sometimes stuff is really obvious. Sometimes it's not. You really have to know your Fire Emblem lore just in general, because bits from every Fire Emblem game make their way into Heroes.
Yeah.
So the stories kind of overlap to an extent. So if you know the stories of each of the individual Fire Emblem games well, you can kind of maybe predict or piece together stuff that's going to be happening in Heroes, plot-wise.
Okay, because maybe somebody doesn't know the background, so they don't know if it's a new, like, plot line or right. not.
And not every game got a North American release, either. Like, true. That's important. Like, Roy's story.
Yeah.
Roy, who is in Fire Emblem, one of the popular winner of the first Choose Your Legends contest, or one of the top two,
rather. Yeah.
his game never got a localization outside of Japan.
That's kind of surprising considering he's such a big character. A
little bit. It was also like the follow-up to Blazing Blade. So that's interesting. Blazing Blade, of course, got a North American release. That's Lynn, Hector, and Ellawood. Binding Blade, which is Roy's story.
Never did.
Roy is Ellawood's son. Oops. It's very, very interesting. I'd like to see some localization happening. Either way, I don't know what they're going to be. Maybe it's Binding Blade. Maybe I just, maybe I'm a prophet and I don't know it. I'm not sure. But enough about that. You want to hear about community news, right? We just had our Smash 4 tournament wrap. Congrats to the Good Score Guy 1 and Shulk. And I added a Shulk emoji to the Discord to celebrate. Shulk is busted. I don't care what anybody says. That counter move is cheese, and if you play Smash Bros., you know what I'm talking about. I was in the finals, too, but it didn't go very well. I sailed right into the finals, undefeated, and then I got walloped on.
You got shulked.
I did. Shulk smashed me good. So October events that are coming up, we have the Fire Emblem Heroes Halloween giveaway that's currently going on. We have the Splatoon 2 Duos Tournament that registration just ended for. Parents are going to be posted very, very soon. That's ongoing from the 13th through the 27th. We have the Pokemon Go Shiny Contest for the Metagross line. That's going to be on from the 20th through the 22nd. We have the Fae Unit Contest, which this theme is alts this time around. It's the 25th through the 30th. We have the KCCC Sun 2 Tournament. That's going to be from October 20th through November 18th. We have the KCBL Season 1 Tournament 2 starting. That will begin on October 27th through January 6th. We have the Pumpkin Carving Contest, which is Halloween-themed, obviously, from October 21st through November 3rd. And the Costume Contest, which will be happening alongside it, from October 27th through November 3rd as well. So the reason I kind of pieced it into the weekend, because I wasn't sure like when people were having trick or treat, so I just kind of covered the whole week.
Yeah,
covered my bases. Could have been the weekend before. Could have been the one after.
Yeah, some communities do before, some after, some the day of. It just depends.
Wasn't sure. Costumes got to be clean. All right. Don't bring weird stuff into the Discord. It's not going to end well for you. Fair warning.
Can you do pet costumes? Is that a category?
Sure. It's just best costume. I'm not breaking down category. A dog or a cat could win the contest. Yes, that is what I'm saying.
Okay. What about a tortoise?
They probably will. Sure.
Sure.
Rabbit. Cockroach.
Snake.
Anything. Anything spoopy in nature.
All right.
So we have all that happening in October. My shoulders are going numb and I can't feel anything because I've been laying on my stomach.
Why didn't you grab one of the pillows?
Because I'm crazy. That's why. But before we head out for the day, I want to thank you guys so much for listening. If you want to consider supporting CantoCast, be sure to check out listener support. The link for that is in the description, or you can just head over to anchor.fm/CantoCast/support. It helps out the show. It helps out me. It lets me know that you appreciate the content that I put out for your lovely ears to hear every week, give or take. Over here at anchor.fm/CantoCast or whatever podcast app you prefer to listen on. It's out there.
A lot more than it used to be.
It is. Hooray! Yeah, that's it. Normally I'd talk about like Patreon or whatever, but that doesn't exist anymore. Which, if you are a Patreon supporter, by the way, I deactivated the Patreon, so you shouldn't be charged for this month. If you are, let me know and we'll figure something out. But moving forward, you shouldn't be charged, I don't think. The next time you should be charged is like the end of the month, beginning of November, so that shouldn't happen. But if it does, let me know. If you are a supporter over on Twitch, I love your faces, and you guys are awesome, so thank you for that. Thank you to all the support.
Thank you.
That the show gets. Whether it be Twitch or listener support, I don't know.
Also, we don't have any listener support yet. And the retweets and the other... like follows and all that stuff too works.
Yeah, whatever.
Wait, you said you don't have any listener support?
No. We've yet to get anybody on listener support. I'm wondering who's going to be the first one.
Will they win something if they're the first one?
I don't know.
Do you get your own?
I am trying to foster a relationship between Anchor and Gleam, which is the contest service that I use. And I got the CEO of Gleam interested, and Anchor never responded. And I just feel so betrayed at the moment.
Were you like, hey, Anchor, you should really reach out to them? Or was it just like a...
No, I tweeted both of them and said, I would really love to do giveaways for my podcast. I do it with my YouTubes and Twitch on Gleam.
Yeah.
When can we make this partnership happen? And the guy from Gleam was like, yeah, we've been looking at like trying to partner with a podcast platform for a while. We want to make like IPs. I don't know. It was a bunch of tech jargon. I didn't understand it, but I was like, oh my God, the CEO of Gleam responded. And then Anchor just dropped the ball.
You should tag him again and be like, Anchor,
I'm not done. I'm not done yet. Because, like, I've had a podcast following for so long, and I was like, I never really had a great way to do giveaways.
No.
But this could be it. Anchor could be that way.
People love giveaways. They love free stuff.
Sure.
Which, outside of you getting this for free, is also something else you could get for free.
No cash grabs or paywalls here, fam. Giving away the farm. But that's it. Thank you guys so much for listening. We got a jet because we're like crazy busy and we're trying to get this in last minute. Anyway, thank you guys so much for listening. I am KCB Brian for KCY Jenna. Thank you so much for listening, and we will catch you next time.